Please turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 12, though I shall be spending most of the time in 1 Kings chapter 10. But my text is to be found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. And whilst you turn to it, could I just say that the title of this morning's message is Sheba's Quest. And the theme for morning and evening is seeking Christ. And this morning we'll learn lessons how we are to seek Christ. And then, God willing, this afternoon we shall see some of the difficulties and discouragements that seekers in Christ often come across. But I'm aware that every time I preach, there are those within the congregation who are seeking Christ, seeking the forgiveness of sins, seeking the assurance of heaven, seeking salvation, and it is to such seeking souls that I want to address myself this morning. But my text is here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Our Lord in this chapter gives a rebuke to two classes of people. First of all, he rebukes those who hear the gospel, but are never brought to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And rebukes those by the example of the Ninevites. The Ninevites had one short, brief message from the lips of the prophet Jonah. And the message that Jonah brought contained no element of mercy whatsoever. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And yet they hear those few words repeated from the lips of Jonah, and they repent in sackcloth and in ashes, and the Lord spared the city as they repented. And so our Lord reproves those who hear the glorious gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, who refuse to repent, who remain in their sins. And he says the Ninevites shall arise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. And the second class of people that he rebukes are those who do not have sufficient interest even to care to hear the gospel. Or if they do hear the gospel, they give it no serious attention. They consider it as unworthy of their attention and their concern. And he rebukes them by the example of the Queen of the South. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And so our Lord first rebukes those who hear the gospel but will not repent. And then he rebukes those who refuse to give the gospel serious consideration and contemplation. The first are shamed by the Ninevites. The second are shamed by the example of the Queen of the South, who came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Our Lord condemns those who refuse to seek Christ. And what I want to do this morning are three things. First of all, I want you to see the seeker herself. And then secondly, the search that she made. And thirdly, the satisfaction that she received. First of all, consider the seeker herself, the Queen of Sheba. And learn five things here. First of all, from 1 Kings, we learn that she was a queen. We read in 1 Kings chapter 10 at verse 1, And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she is queen. The Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, as our Lord describes her in Matthew's Gospel. And yet she does not consider it beneath her dignity to search after the wisdom of Solomon. She is sovereign in her own right. She is a monarch. And yet she does not consider it a waste of her valuable time to journey a long distance to his dominions in order to see and hear of the wisdom of Solomon. And how this queen condemns those who do not even have the cares and the concerns and the many engagements that a monarch has. Those who find themselves too busy and offer the vain excuse that they do not have time on the Lord's Day, on the Sunday, to come and to seek after Christ and to hear his word. For after all, they have a large family, and they have a demanding job, and they have much to do in their homes, and there is shopping to be done, and there are football matches to be seen. They have many hobbies and many interests. They do not have the time to come to the house of God to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord says the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, will arise in the judgment with this generation. She left her kingdom. She threw off for a time the cares of state. And she undertook this long and arduous journey that she might learn of the wisdom of Solomon firsthand. My dear friends, how much the rather ought men and women of our generation, how much more ought they to be willing to set aside all their earthly cares and seek the one who is greater than Solomon. Seek the Saviour of sinners. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It is not that men do not have the time. Men and women soon find time for pleasure. The reality, the truth is, they do not have the will to seek the Saviour. If the Queen of Sheba can come to Solomon, make that vast journey, then men have no excuse whatsoever today if they will not seriously seek after the one who is greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. So she is a queen. And the second thing we learn about her is this: she came a very great distance. She is described by our Lord as the Queen of the South. Here in 1 Kings she is called the Queen of Sheba. Sheba is that area of southwest Arabia that we would know today as the Yemen. And she makes this long and this dangerous journey from the uttermost parts of the earth. There were mountains to be climbed. There were seas that had to be navigated. There were deserts that had to be crossed. But none of these difficulties could daunt her seeking spirit. She has heard of the wisdom of Solomon, and wisdom she will have. And boldly and courageously, she ventures upon this long journey, no matter how far she has to travel. She comes, our Lord says, from the uttermost parts of the earth, and she is determined to travel to the ends of the earth, that she might hear, that she might see for herself the wisdom of this mighty monarch, King Solomon. How she condemns those, even here in West Kilburn, who have the gospel, as it were, brought to their very door. And yet they will not leave the comfort of their armchair to hear the gospel of Christ. There are thousands around this place of worship who have but to walk along the street to hear the words of eternal life. And yet they stay at home and luxuriate in sin. And if they do hear it, they pay no attention whatsoever to it. But here is the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, toiling across the desert. The Queen, one of the weaker sex. And our Lord says she will rise up in the judgment with this generation. This generation who neglect so great salvation, who neglect their own soul, prepared to enjoy the pleasures of this life, only to find their souls in hell for all eternity, treating the Saviour as though it were nothing for him to die. So she is a queen. She travelled a great distance. The third thing we learn about her is that she made the journey at great personal expense. We read in 1 Kings and verse 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. Oh, what wealth she brought, a very great train, camels bearing spices, very much gold, precious stones. Perhaps she thought that the treasures of her kingdom would admit her into the presence of Solomon. Ah, but our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Solomon, asks nothing from sinners but their hearts. He does not sell the truth, but gives it freely, without money, without price. And if men will not open the ear and give their thoughts to divine things, they shall be utterly inexcusable when this heathen queen shall rise up in the judgment and declare that she gave her pearls, her riches, her gold, her spices to the king, that she might learn the wisdom of Solomon. My dear friends, if you refuse the gospel, the gracious and the free invitation of Christ's gospel, the Queen of the South, one day, judgment day, shall arise to condemn you. She is a queen. She has travelled a great distance at great personal expense. And the fourth thing we learn about her is this. She had received no invitation. Solomon sent her no text, no email, or whatever it was they used in those days. No invitation was sent to her from King Solomon. No promise was given to her that she would be welcomed and received if she came. She came to King Solomon unexpected, uninvited, unsought. And yet, as I preach here this morning, you have been invited to Christ. Many, many times you have heard Dr. Martin and other preachers bring the word of God. The word of Christ, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What a glorious, gracious, loving invitation that is to sinners to come to Christ. But she received no invitation. And again you have heard our Lord say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. What a wonderful invitation that is. What a glorious promise is contained therein. You have had many, many invitations. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Almost every page of the Word of God is full of glorious, gracious invitations to sinners to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if in spite of all those numerous invitations, and in spite of having the gospel brought to your very home, If you will not seek sincerely the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Solomon, this Queen of the South shall arise in the judgment, our Lord says, and condemn you. So she is a queen. She has travelled a great distance at great personal expense. She has received no invitation. And the fifth thing I would say about this seeker is this. She had heard but little of Solomon. Perhaps nothing more than a rumour. We read at the end of 1 Kings chapter 9 of the naval port that Solomon had established on the Red Sea, and some of his ships had gone to Tarshish for gold and probably had taken refuge on the Arabian Peninsula. And from the sailors she had heard strange, marvellous stories of this mighty king, of his throne of gold and of ivory, of the glory of his army, of the multitude of his chariots, of the temple of his God. She has heard these reports, these rumours, and as she hears them, she comes from the uttermost parts of the earth to see for herself and to hear with her own ears. My dear friends, it is not rumours of Christ's fame that you have heard. We have here in this book the Word of God, the Bible. We have a sure word of prophecy brought unto us by the prophets, by the apostles. It is here in this book, written by the divine finger, stamped with the eternal seal of God, as men moved by the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God. One wonders what distances the Queen of Sheba would have travelled had she heard reports of him who is greater than Solomon, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Ah, but she went to see a fellow monarch, a mere mortal man, nothing more than an animated lump of clay. But my dear friend, as I preach to you this morning, you are invited this morning to come to him who is God manifest in the flesh. We have read of him together as we went through that doctrine of Christ. God manifest in the flesh. She went to hear a man who had wisdom. You are invited this morning to the one who is wisdom. Proverbs 8. She went to see the King of Israel. You are invited to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is Lord of heaven and earth and hell, the Lord Jesus Christ. She marveled at Solomon's riches. Marvel, my friends, at the unspeakable riches of Jesus Christ. So we have considered the seeker a queen. She has travelled a great distance, at great expense. She has heard but little of Solomon, and she had received no invitation and no promise. But now, in the second place, notice how she sought. The search itself. And the first thing I would say about her search is this. She did it in person. She was a queen. She was a monarch. She had servants in abundance. She had ambassadors. Members of the royal household. But she does not consider sending an ambassador to go in search of the matter. But personally, on her own account, she set out to see King Solomon for herself. My dear friends, if you would be converted, if you would be saved by the grace of Almighty God, if you would know salvation, you must, in like manner, in your own person, come to Christ, the friend of sinners, become as a little child and sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who honestly seek after the Lord Jesus Christ will personally draw near unto Him in earnest prayer, knowing that our Lord says, He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. So she came personally. The second thing I would say about her, under this heading, is she went direct to Solomon. Verse 2, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices. And when she was come to Solomon, she went directly to Solomon. She did not inquire at the butler's, nor of Adoniram, who was over the tribute, but she bypassed all of these servants, and she went personally and directly to Solomon himself. What a lesson that is to a seeking soul. The way to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the way to eternal salvation, is to go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that because, sadly, there is a modern tendency to regard pastors as though they were priests. But a pastor is not a priest. A pastor is a signpost, pointing sinners to Christ. He is a pole that seeks to uplift Christ and direct sinners to Christ. And so here we have the Queen of Sheba. She comes in person. She goes directly. She does not consult the king's mighty men. She doesn't go to the Kerethites or the Pelethites, but she sought Solomon to hear from his own lips. We read in the Gospels of those who said to the disciples, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Make that your prayer, my friend. We would see Jesus. I would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Go to Christ in person. Go directly to Christ. Go to Christ, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Go to Christ. Hanging there upon yonder cross, bearing your sin in His own body on the tree, putting away your sin by the sacrifice of Himself, go to Christ, as the dying thief did. Go in person, go directly. The third thing we learn here about her search is this. She told Him all that was in her heart. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. That's the way to come to Christ. Commune with Him all that is in your heart. Tell Him all that is there, lurking in your heart, in the dark recesses of your soul. We read of the woman with the issue of blood in the Gospel of Mark, who touched the hem of our Lord's garment, and our Lord turns and says, Who touched me? And our Lord fixes His eye upon the lady, and she told Him all the truth. All the truth. That's how to come to Christ. Tell Him all that's in your heart. He knows it already. But tell Him your doubts, your fears. Confess to Him the hardness of your heart, the impenitence of your heart. Confess the whole, your depravity, your corruption, your sinfulness, your wretchedness, your emptiness. That all those years you have tried to establish a righteousness of your own. Go to Christ, personally, directly, tell Him all that is in your heart. Go as you are. Tell Him all. And then the fourth thing we learn about her here is that she asked Solomon hard questions. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. We are not told what her questions were, and we are not particularly interested in what her questions were. But she had a whole list of questions, and she put them one after another to Solomon, and he answered all those questions. And when you come to Christ, asking the most profound question of all, how can such a sinner as I ever be just with God? How can such a hell-deserving sinner have peace with God? Angels cannot solve that mystery, you know. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as you ask Him that question, He will point you to His wounded hands and feet. He will tell you of the great work of eternal redemption wrought out upon Calvary's cross, when the wrath of God was poured out upon Him as He who was without sin was made sin, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. He will point you to the dreadful justice of God as He drank damnation dry upon Calvary's cross for those who will believe in Him. He will point you to His perfect righteousness. And He will show you that if He covers you in His righteousness, you will be accepted before a thrice holy God. Go to Christ personally, directly, tell Him all that is in your heart. Ask Him the hardest question known to mankind. How can such a hell-deserving sinner as I ever be accepted by a thrice holy God? And He will answer you those questions. And we learn that further she saw the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he built. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sittings of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, she saw Solomon first and then the house which he had built. And in like manner, those seeking Christ must go personally, directly to Christ, first of all, tell Him all that is in your heart. And then you will learn everything about Him, the house that He has built, His glorious church, redeemed with precious blood, built of great sinners, becoming trophies of His grace, the foundations of His church laid in the covenant of grace, the pinnacles towering to the highest heaven, and the King reigning within. And she observes the meat of His table. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed." He says again, "I am that living bread. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He that eateth of this bread that I shall give him shall never hunger and shall never thirst." Oh, how ravishing is Christ to a poor soul when you discover the meat of His table, what satisfying food, what an abundance of food, what constant and rare provisions of grace there are. One of the old hymn writers has a couplet in one of the verses, "Never did angels taste above redeeming grace and dying love." Well, she saw many, many other things also, but she saw His ascent to the house of the Lord. That gigantic viaduct from the palace to the temple itself. And when she saw that, there was no more spirit in her. Why, she thought to herself, I never thought that such a gulf could ever be bridged. As she saw the King walk along that viaduct, her soul was utterly astonished and overwhelmed. In like manner, sinner, look at the great mountain of God's eternal love on the one hand and the great mountain of human sin on the other hand, and what a great chasm lies between. But there upon that cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ has bridged that gap. And so we have seen the seeker herself. We have seen the search that she made. And thirdly and finally and briefly, the satisfaction that she found. Notice the confession that she made. In 1 Kings 10 verse 6, she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom." When a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner will have joy and peace in believing. And the sinner will make confession with the mouth. When the burden of sin slips from off your shoulders and you look at Christ crucified in your room and in your place, then you too will confess with your lips, "It was a true report." "Oh, Mr. Preacher, everything you said was true. He is the friend of sinners. He is a mighty Saviour. He is my great High Priest whose name is love. All that I have ever heard of him is true. He is full of grace. He is so willing to forgive." "Ah, but Mr. Preacher, you only told me half. The half has never been told. His wisdom and his prosperity exceed the fame which I have heard." "Oh, Mr. Preacher, you are a poor preacher. You told me that he was beautiful. You told me that he was wonderful. But since I have come to Christ, his beauty ravishes my soul. He is the altogether lovely one. He is the chiefest among 10,000. I could not believe there was such a one as he. But now that I have come to him, mine eyes have seen him. And my soul has been saved, and behold, the half was not told me." Even the Apostle John, when he writes his Gospel, you recall what he says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." And again he goes on, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." What a statement. Go to the British Library. Thousands, thousands, thousands of books. But John says, if everything that Christ did had been recorded, the very world could not contain the books that should be written. The half has not been told. So she makes her confession. And then we further learn that her expectations were exceeded. "Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." That's a remarkable statement. She is the queen of Sheba. She has treasures of her own. And yet it seems, as I read verse 8 of 1 Kings 10, it seems that she is envious of the page boy in Solomon's court. "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." It seems as though she is willing to give up all the treasures of Sheba, its spice, its gold, that she might become a maid of honour in the court of King Solomon. What does the psalmist say? "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." It You know, there are Christians who find the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, restrictive and irksome. But those who have seen the one who is greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not find the Lord's day irksome and grievous. Indeed, I speak for myself, there are times I would long that every day was a Sabbath day, that I could join every day with the people of God in singing the praises of Him who hath loved me and washed me from my sin. But here, this Queen of the South, her expectations are exceeded. Our Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. And then we learn of her further that she gave to Solomon all her treasures, or some of her treasures, verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Having come to Solomon, having heard his wisdom, she gives to him. She gives to him her spices, her gold, her treasures, her riches. And souls who come to Christ, they give to Christ. We often sing the hymn, it's in your hymn book, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." Those who have come to Christ, who have tasted of Christ, who have received eternal salvation, who have been born again of the Spirit of God, they give to Christ, "Take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And then finally, Solomon made her a present out of his royal bounty, and King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. She gave to Solomon, but she lost nothing by giving to Solomon, because Solomon was not going to be outdone in generosity. In turn, he gave to her. She gave what she had brought to Solomon, but he was not going to be outdone. And so it is when we come to Christ, when we give to Christ, we perhaps give Him years of labor, but He gives us an eternity of rest. We give to our Lord Jesus Christ days of patient endurance, but He gives, and He gives eternal ages of joy. Perhaps we are called upon to suffer a little for a few days for Him, but He gives us eternal glory. So that Paul can say, "For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Solomon, He gives us all our desire, the desires of the heart. Do you desire salvation? Do you desire to know the forgiveness of your every sin? Do you desire to know the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ blotting out all your transgressions? Do you desire to know that you are a child of God, an heir of God, joint heir together with Christ? Do you desire to have the assurance of eternal salvation, the assurance of heaven? then as you follow the example of the Queen of the South, and as you come personally and directly to Christ and tell Him all the burdens of your heart, tell Him all the truth, He will give to those who come to Him the desires of your heart. Him that cometh to Me, He says, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, there is much to learn for the seeking soul from the example here of the Queen of Sheba as she went to King Solomon. And our Lord says to this generation that the Queen of the South shall arise in the judgment with this generation, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, ever blessed, thrice holy God, we thank Thee that there is one who is greater than Solomon. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, Thine only begotten Son. We thank Thee that the angel said of Him, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. We thank Thee that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. We thank Thee for those many gracious and loving invitations and promises that there are in Thy Word for sinners to come to Christ. And we pray that if there are those seeking Christ here this morning, then they will be found of Thee, that they might come to Thee personally and directly, confess all their heart to Thee, and seek Thy salvation. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.